I'm Andy Bates, part of the team here at KFUO. While you hear me on the air and in podcasts, I'm also part of the team that works behind the scenes to bring you the programs like this that you value. What you hear on the air and in podcasts is just the tip of the iceberg. Listeners like you generously support everything that makes radio and podcasts happen. Administration, cutting-edge technology, software, hosts, producers, and more. You make this happen. Can we count on you to continue this support? KFUO Shareathon, now through April 5th, is a great time to show your support and make a gift or make a plan to give for a whole year. Your generosity is important and appreciated, not just by the KFUO team, but by listeners who get to hear and enjoy Christ-centered programs every day. Will you make a gift today? KFUO.org/give. KFUO.org/give.
Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is John, chapter 2, verses 13 through 25, and the Reverend Kevin Robson is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from St. John, chapter 2. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. To employ a tag that is overused by the titans of industry and technology these days, something that you often hear at an MBA program at one of our graduate universities, he's a disruptor. The angry, confrontational Jesus that we see flipping over tables and sending money flying and whipping men and animals as they flee from the Jerusalem temple, he is not so much the sweet, soothing shepherd of souls that we typically cherish in our hearts. John chapter 2 probably ought to be coming with a warning label attached. Do not read this when your son or daughter comes home from Sunday school and asks, "Dad, what would Jesus do about the bazaar sale going on in the church basement?" You see what happens when the divine disruptor, the Lord Jesus, has suddenly come into his temple. He is disgusted by what he finds there, a dirty dealing emporium, a place of unjust trading, and gainsetting. It should be a place of God's merciful presence, where the Holy Spirit is never bought or sold, where always He comes only by grace and promise, the very house of God where He gives Himself away, where God meets man. But the temple had been turned into a bazaar where people went to meet animals. The Israelites had made God's work their work, turned gift into a transaction where God does His part, you do yours, and together you walk out on terms. Jesus literally turns the tables on this. Take everything associated with your business and get it out of here. He knows what is in man, and it is ugly. Nothing irritates Jesus more than faithless religion, faithless sacrifices, bargaining, transacting in the name of God, self-serving deal-making profanes God's house. You can't buy Him out with pigeons and promises. The religious elite are having none of Christ's words or mission. They demand a sign. Jesus gives a disruptive answer that causes them confusion. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I shall raise it. They are thinking bricks and stones and mortar and decades of hard labor. But Jesus speaks not of reconstructing any material temple. He is disrupting the creation into which He has suddenly come by announcing in advance His resurrection from the dead. Zeal for His house will indeed consume Him, but this zeal, this being consumed, is not at all about being overcome by wrought emotions or intensely felt feelings. Rather, as Christ's disciples would come to realize, the zeal is for the new temple of His body. His commitment is to the genuine and eternal house of His Father, a zeal that would bring Him straight into being consumed in a paschal self-sacrifice. Not the act of a pretender, but of one choosing to suffer everything for the order of His Father's house. Jesus didn't come to whip offenders, but to Himself suffer their punishment by bloody scourging. Not to overturn tables of wood, but to be nailed to a wooden cross for the sins of the world. Not to drive the masses out of a building, but Himself to pass through a stony tomb. Not to tear the temple curtain in two from top to bottom, but to invite all of the nations into the Holy of Holies that we know as His church. Not to merely provide a sign or a pointer or a marker of something or someone else, but to be in Himself the real thing. God's love come down to redeem and save a desperate humankind suffering in torment. You and I, who would have otherwise been caught in the boiling cauldron of sin, death, and hell. Jesus had no interest in the reformation of the Jerusalem temple so that it might somehow continue as the place of renewed and restored worship. From the moment of His arrival as the Word made flesh, that building that had taken decades to construct in Jerusalem had already been effectively destroyed, terminated from its original assignment to bear the purposes of God. The true temple that will be raised in 3 days is the body that was once hung on the cross in your place, pierced with the punishment that you earned, laid in your grave, that dark dungeon that was eventually emptied of its power at the glorious dawn of a first Easter. Get these things out of here. Jesus still cries out with such disruptive zeal whenever his called and ordained servant announces holy absolution on the authority of his shed blood. I forgive you all your sins. They're no more. They're out of here. When it comes to such grace, God means business. No trading allowed. Only grace, mercy, and peace given freely. The day is coming, indeed has now come, when Jesus entrusts himself to everyone who is born from above by water and the Holy Spirit. This is the continual work of his body, the church, until he comes again. We look forward to the day of that divine disruptor's return, when all of creation will receive the final release from its degradation, when the creation will no longer serve as a mere platform for the schemes of men wrapped up in the business of self-serving enterprise. At his righteous judgment, you and every other saint will be left to gaze upon the beauty and power and majesty of the Lamb of God. In the glory of his eternal light, all that will be left will be to confess and give thanks and praise that the instrument of the atonement, the paschal sacrifice upon his cross, now reigns upon his throne as King forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.